I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Jazz Notes. It's Thursday, April 18th. I'm Zach Hickens, sitting alongside producer extraordinaire Trevor Allen.
I want to say producer extraordinaire.
You're coming in on your day off. You're extraordinaire because of that. At least your performance is more extraordinary than what the Jazz have done the last two games.
Well, as of right now, it's not that hard to beat, honestly. I mean, if you look at what's happened, they've lost both games by over 20 points and just not playing well defensively or, you know, shooting the ball well.
Yeah, I think that the bigger problem is the offense. We'll get to that. But in case you missed it, the Jazz lost Game 2 last night in Houston, 118-98. Head back home to play Game 3 and 4. Game 3 is Saturday, I believe, at 8:30. Hopefully they can get something going. Otherwise, this series is... I mean, it feels like it's over. It's a bad matchup. I felt that way from the beginning. But going down 3-0, there's not much hope left.
Well, no, and that, you know, it's definitely over at that point. But the problem is that not only do the Jazz need to get something going, they have to make sure Houston's not getting anything going, because Houston has been phenomenal on both ends of the floor in the first two games. I mean, just the fact that they're holding the Jazz under 100 points, they're dropping 120. James Harden hasn't had to go for 40 points, although there have been times where it looked like he was going to, especially in Game 2.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Last night, his performance in the first quarter was phenomenal. The Jazz came out with that same defensive scheme, covering his left shoulder, preventing him from getting that step back, forcing him to go right. And guess what? He stepped up to the challenge. He said, "You're going to force me to go right? Okay, I'm going to go right, and I'm going to do it well." He had, I believe, 17 points and 4 assists that had led to, it was like 9 points or something like that, just in the first quarter. Finished with a triple-double with 32 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. A phenomenal performance from James Harden, 6-for-13 from 3. And it's just hard to stop a guy like that when he's going. And the Jazz didn't do themselves any favors early in the game. Looking back at it, 4 of their first 8 possessions were ended in a turnover. That led to 8 points for Houston. The Jazz got in a 12-4 deficit, and then that's when Harden went off.
And then turned it into 27-9.
Yeah, and then he's finding P.J. Tucker and Eric Gordon. Those guys are sinking their threes, and the Jazz can't get anything going.
I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, if you're going to beat the Rockets, at least you have to get off to a great start. I mean, we were all talking about it during the game last night that, you know, could the Jazz pull off of what the Clippers did in Golden State when they were down 31 coming back, you know, to win the game? I mean, obviously, you know, there were a lot of things that had to happen in that game, but it didn't look like, I mean, there was a little mini stretch in that fourth quarter, and that was kind of at the point where, you know, the Jazz
Houston
were
started mailing it
yeah,
in.
Yeah, they you know, the Rockets were mailing it in, and Quinn started putting in some of the guys deeper in the bench. I mean, it was just one of those things where it wasn't going to happen. But, I mean, you know, going back to that first quarter, you cannot allow 39 points in a quarter.
No.
And not only that, but you're only scoring 19 points. You know, the Jazz shot, let's see, 8 of 25 in that first quarter, 1 of 13 from downtown. They already had 13 attempts from downtown just in that opening quarter. The Rockets also had 13 attempts, but they made 6. And James Harden had 17 points, 5 of 10 from the field and 3 of 6 from downtown. It was a phenomenal performance from James Harden, but he was getting everyone involved. And it wasn't like in Game 1 where the Rockets had 7 guys scoring in double figures.
Mm-hmm.
They only had, I think, 4 guys scoring double figures, but
that's right, yeah.
They all did damage.
Well, and let's talk about why the Jazz are struggling in offense. So, in case you didn't know, in case you haven't heard, the Rockets run a switch defense. The Jazz struggle with that, especially with the offense that they run that's predicated so much on handoffs and on the pick and roll. Because the Jazz lack players that can play in isolation, that are just better athletes, that can beat the defender one-on-one, there's one guy right now that's available that can do that somewhat consistently. That's Donovan. The other guy that can do that somewhat consistently is Dante Exum. He's out. And maybe the third best option for the ability to do that is Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
Not great, but what they've been able to do in the past has worked. And so they're having to pass, it's leading to turnovers, but when they're actually executing the plays, setting guys up, they aren't making threes. Okay. Overall, they're shooting 39% from the field. From 3-point,
it's got to be in the 20s.
23%. They're 15 for 65 in the first two games, which is just dreadful, okay? The three guys that really get the offense going from their ability to shoot threes, we're leaving Korver out just because he's played such a little amount in the series because of his knee injury.
Yeah, playing 2 minutes in game two.
Yeah. He just doesn't count because he hasn't been able to get in and be have an effect at all. Donovan's 4 for 15, that's 26%. Jay, 2 for 13, that's 15%, which is just dreadful. That's how he makes his money. Joe Ingles, 2 for 9, 22%. There was only one Jazz player that made more than 1-3 last night.
And it was Royce O'Neal.
It was Royce O'Neal when he came in when Donovan had foul trouble. And they probably don't find that spark in the offense from Royce if Donovan doesn't get in foul trouble in the first quarter.
They probably would have been down by 30 by the end of that first quarter,
right,
had Royce not come in, because Royce came in and really gave them a boost. I think he had 10 points. Let's see, in that first quarter.
It was 10 points in the
first
quarter.
Yeah, 10 points in the first quarter. And then, you know, Quinn takes him out, and then that's where it all kind of goes back to shambles again. And you know, it's just – Royce was playing really well, and I was shocked that Quinn didn't stick with him. But, yeah, you know, just what you're saying. And listening to all the players after the game say, you know, whenever they were asked about the Wolves shooting, it was just, well, we have to keep shooting. We normally make those, but the thing is, you haven't made them in 2 games now. It's been 2 games, and you haven't shot the ball well. And you really can't say that, you know, you normally make those shots, because – I feel like a lot of that credit goes to the Rockets' defense, and that they are just – I've noticed that they're really forcing the Jazz to get all jittery, you know, and things like that. Because
they seem out of
they're like fronting them, being really aggressive, bumping them all the way up to the, you know, perimeter. Mm-hmm. And so it's been really hard for them to get anything going, and that's why some of those really dumb turnovers happen in game two. It's just a lot of the things I feel like the Rockets are able to do whatever they want right now, and the Jazz are just trying to – you know, cover every wound rather than trying to fight back.
When you have an offense that's predicated on the pick and roll and you can't get that going, and that's how you get open shots in the corners for guys like Joe and Jay and Kyle when he's able to play, and that's not working, that you need to make some adjustments. They don't have the athletes that can make adjustments, so they just have to out-execute teams. And Mike D'Antoni, frankly, in my opinion, is out-coached Quinn Snyder.
Oh, yeah. And it's
which
easily
is,
said, yeah.
Heading into this series, that is not something that I expected. I respect D'Antoni as a coach, but I think that what Quinn Snyder's shown in his years as the head coach of the Jazz is that he is a defensive mastermind, and he can out-execute and out-coach his teams to out-execute the opponent. But he's just been woefully outmatched, just like his team has on the court.
One guy really stands out to me, and it's a pretty obvious player for the reason why the Jazz are struggling. Because if he wasn't struggling as much, yeah, Jazz are probably still down 2-0 because guys like Joe Ingles and Jay Crowder and others are struggling. But it wouldn't be 32 or 20-point blowouts. It would be probably a 12-point loss, 10-point loss, and that's Donovan Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple, I feel like Donovan, for one, is thinking too much about the game. You know, thinking about too much of what the Rockets are going to do rather than just sticking to what has gotten him to this point. And the other is whenever he does drive to the lane and when one of the Rockets players swats him, then he kind of is done attacking the paint.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and Donovan can't go away from that because that is his bread and butter, is first, you know, attacking the paint, getting them to, you know, to get all flustered down there on defense, and then he then stretches out and starts shooting threes. And normally that, at that time, he starts warming up and he can get hot from downtown.
Well, and that's what we've seen in the second half of the season, especially post-All-Star break, is he's been shooting well from the outside, but he's also been attacking the lane, and he's getting fouled and going to the free throw line. He's not doing that in this series. In fact, last night, he's 0 for 2. Okay, that's in 37 minutes, he's 0 for 2 from the free throw line. That's unacceptable. He has to go to the free throw line at least 8 or 9 times a game in order to keep the Jazz afloat in a playoff series. You look at Grayson Allen's numbers, he was 5 for 7 in 10 minutes played. Okay, so Grayson's finding a way to draw fouls.
And he's a rookie.
Coming off the bench in his first playoff experience, Donovan's the guy. He needs to find a way to score, and sometimes that's going to the free throw line. I mean, James Harden has shown that. He's a master at it. We haven't seen it much this series because the Jazz have done a very good job of defending him without fouling, but when he knows that he needs to go to the free throw line, he finds a way to get it done.
Yeah, and see, Donovan has only shot 5 shots at the foul line in this series. He's only made 2. He went 2 for 3 in game 1, and obviously you already mentioned 0 for 2 in game 2. It's just, Donovan said it after the game that, you know, he hasn't shown up. And hopefully, I mean, it just seemed like Donovan, Joe Ingles, Jay Crowder, those guys have not made the trip to Houston. Hopefully they've just been back here in Salt Lake and are ready to go for game 3. Because they're really going to, you know, in order for them to win the series, Jay Crowder has to, bring that spark off the bench, especially if Kyle Korver, and it just seems like he's just not 100%, and it's obviously been, you know, well documented. He's been hurt. And, you know, for his age, it's been, you know, it's a little bit harder, especially for knees. And so, you know, with Crowder, he needs to really bring that spark off the bench. And you've got to get everything you have from Donovan Mitchell. You've got to have the Donovan Mitchell who took over game 6 against the Thunder last year in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That was the, you know, Donovan Mitchell that we were like, okay, he is the, you know, star, you know, moving forward for the Jazz. He's going to be the franchise player. And he hasn't done that in this playoff series. James Harden has done everything he's wanted to do offensively, defensively. He's even played well, and that's not something you usually say about James Harden, is that he's a really good defender. But it's just that they're making it look that easy, the Rockets are.
Yeah, and James isn't the only one who's getting it done. Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, both had really nice games. Combined, they were 7 for 13 from 3, combined for 32 points. And they're like the third and fourth scoring options for the Rockets. Tucker, he's one of the issues that the Jazz have had because they're putting so much emphasis, and especially last night, on stopping that lob where James drives into the lane, Harden drives into the lane, that brings Rudy forward, and he's able to just lob it up for Capella. They tried to minimize that yesterday, so the guy who's over in the corner defending Tucker sags off
has to go in
to help with some help side defense. They just throw it over to Tucker, and he's hitting a wide-open corner three. The season that he set an NBA record for corner threes made, he has 146 made in the regular season, which is just an outlandish number. The season before, he had 115. You can't leave a guy like that wide open in the corner when that's his specialty. He can knock down corner threes, and he's doing it at a 37% rate.
And you know what it is, Zach? And just because, whoever's played the game, as far as basic basketball and, you know, basic help defense, the way that you look at that, so far the Jazz have everything right to where Rudy comes up whenever Harden's driving to the basket, whoever it is, whether it's Joe Ingles or Derek Favors or anybody, whoever's guarding Tucker in the corner has to suck in to, you know, seal off Clint Capella. That was getting done in game two. But then the problem was, is that the guard, the other wing, and usually it's the guy who's guarding Chris Paul, isn't going over to the corner to contest, because you just have to switch all the way around. Everyone, it's like a big circle you have to go through as far as being able to guard guys. And that's been the problem, is that you know, game one, step one wasn't even done, which is sealing off Clint Capella. Game two, you finally have the second step down. Now you got to get the third step down, which is take away the three-point shot in the corner. Hopefully, game three, they have all of those. It just seems like that the Jazz are not in sync defensively. And I even said this after game one. I'm now saying after game two, they are not the Jazz that we have seen all year long defensively.
No, what we've seen is they are they're trying to kind of mimic what other teams have done to successfully stop Houston. Game one, it was what Milwaukee did, which Milwaukee was the one team that was able to shut down Harden. Game two, it was what Philly did. But the Jazz aren't giving themselves enough credit for what they were able to do during the regular season against Harden. Yeah, the last two games he did score 40-plus, but they were able to shut him down the first two games of the season. That was a game down in Houston, a game back here in Salt Lake. So I assume that they're going to change their defensive scheme. But, yeah, it's...
Are you kind of at that point now, like, if you're Quinn Snyder... You're now telling your team going into game three, we're just going to play defense the way that we have. We're not going to try and mimic any other team. We're not going to try and game plan too much. We're not going to make this too complicated. Let's just play our defense and see what happens. Is that what you're kind of doing? And you're also telling them, you guys have to go out and punch them in the mouth, you know, right as tip-off happens. You've got to get going right away.
Yeah, that's exactly. They need to come out and play their game. They're going to have the crowd behind them. There's going to be a little lackluster of energy, I think, just because of how the Jazz performed in the first two games. But it's still the playoffs. Jazz fans are going to be very excited. There are going to be more tickets sold because they're going to be cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be an energy in the building that I hope that the Jazz, for their sake, can feed off of. And let me just correct myself on that number. I said it was 146 corner threes. It's 109. So 109 of his 146 total threes of the season came from the corner. That's what it was.
So he's actually made 146 threes total from anywhere out on the
from the corner.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Breaking Joe Johnson's record that he was 102.
Wow.
So Joe Johnson, as Jazz fans know,
and see, no one would have thought
really knocked down the corner three.
No one would have thought that PJ Tucker is even a perimeter shooter, let alone breaking records.
No, and he's doing it at a 40% rate, which is pretty impressive. You don't want to leave a guy like that wide open in the corner.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is about the Rockets is that they've really filled up on guys who can shoot from downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And if they weren't perimeter shooters before, Mike D'Antoni's going to turn them into perimeter shooters. That is the way they go, is that they draw and kick. They're always driving to the paint, trying to kick out or lob. I mean, really, their offense seems kind of basic. It's just whatever the defense gives them.
Right.
It's just that they've been able to capitalize a lot on what the defense has been giving them, and they've been red hot shooting the basketball.
Absolutely. And Ricky Rubio even talked about it yesterday. We have some sound from him that we can play. But what he said was basically, you know, we know what Harden is, but we're not going to give up. And I think that message was something that was going to be shared throughout the Jazz locker room for last night after the game, probably today, and as they continue to get ready for game three. And even Donovan after the game was going around saying, hey guys, I'm going to have you. I'm going to lift us up. I'm going to put the team on my back, which is what he needs to do as a superstar. But let's go ahead and listen to what Ricky had to say.
I mean, it's hard, but I'm not going to quit. We're not going to quit. We're going to keep playing, giving him a different looks. Guy score 36 points in a regular season per game. I mean, the last one who did it probably, I don't know exactly, but probably Michael Jordan. And that says a lot. He has a lot of weapons. He can read the game really well. And we give him different looks from game one, but still, it's hard. And we're going to keep looking for ways to stop him. And and we're not going to quit. It's a playoff. He had a great game, of course, until game three.
So, yeah, basically, you know, Ricky's got the right mindset. He's saying the right things for Jazz fans, is that they're not giving up. They're, you know, down 2-0. If they were down 3-0 in the series, it would, I mean, obviously the players are going to be like, well, why can't we be the first team to be the first, you know, to come back from a 3-0 deficit to win the series? I mean, we all know a 3-0 deficit in the NBA, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. I mean, teams have gotten close, but it's never been done, and I don't see it happening in the very near future unless, like, the Golden State Warriors nowadays, if they get, like, a, you know, a 2 seed and somehow collapse, but obviously they've collapsed.
Right.
You know, blowing a 31-point lead and then a 3-1 lead in the finals.
Right.
You know, just things like that. I just don't I don't see a 3-0 deficit coming back, and it's just one of those things. So obviously it's a must win for the Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
They have to bring it in game three, but I just hope that it just being, you know, home in their own bed. I mean, when you're in Houston for 5 days, it kind of wears on you a little bit.
Sounds like it was hot down there too.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not like that they're playing out in the, you know, streets where, you know, you're having
right,
to deal with the sweat.
Like,
but, yeah, you know, just getting around. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a difference that you feel. And just, yeah, like you said, being comfortable, being in your own bed, being in your own facilities, your own locker room, your home court that you're used to playing in, that you play 41 games a year in. It helps. And hopefully, I don't know what kind of a difference it's going to make, but hopefully it can offer up some spark to help alleviate the Jazz a little bit for kind of the woes that they're facing. And the rest is up to them. So what do they got to do in game three? Defensively, I think that they need to get back on transition defense and force Houston into half-court sets. We saw last night when they were forcing Houston to half-court sets, the Jazz were actually fairly they saw a positive outcome from that. And on offense, it's as easy as getting a couple guys to knock down some threes, get Houston to respect the perimeter a little bit more. Then that way you could maybe get Derek and Rudy going, get Donovan driving the lane a little bit more, getting fouled, getting a free throw line. So it sounds simple, but it's not that simple.
No, it's not.
They have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, just the one thing that really stands out to me, and I'm really hesitant saying this because I'm not the guy who is trying to question anybody's heart or, you know, effort, because I know that it's all there. But the problem is that there were times last night, and we all pointed it out while we were watching the game together, is that guys were just not giving full effort on every possession, whether it's defense or offense. There were times where, and I'm not going to call out certain players just because I'm not that, you know, kind of guy, but guys who are just, you know, walking up the floor or not running after, you know, as one of the Rockets are driving in for a layup, you're just kind of swiping at it a little bit. You're not giving full effort, being aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to go back to that. That's all it is. I mean, you don't need to make it more complicated than it already is. I mean, you already know of who you're going to be facing in James Harden and how good he is. But you've got to, you know, Cleon Wall and Austin and I were talking about this on the Jazz Notes podcast on, you know, after the game on Wednesday. And I kind of just said, I'll ask you this, Zach. Do you let James Harden kind of do his thing as long as he doesn't go off for like 60 points or 50 points or whatever? If you can keep him between 30 and 40 points, but you basically shut everybody else down, are you okay with that?
I think so. If it leads to a win, definitely. I think that the Jazz have shown that when they are putting all the emphasis on Harden, it's not working out for them so far. That was their main focus that first quarter last night. They were down 20 by the end of it. They're down 39-19. And I feel it's possible that part of their offense production has lacked because of the emphasis they're putting on guarding James. I think that you just need to go out there and play your game and just do what you need to do. Play your defense straight up. Find ways to give him fits, be physical, and just get in his head. And you saw Ricky started to get in his head yesterday. He was shoving and Harden fouled him. Or after getting fouled, he got in Ricky's face, was saying stuff to him, pushed a basketball towards his face, restrained himself a little bit, but he was getting annoyed. Ricky can be very annoying defensively. that's a good sign for that's positive for the Jazz. So, I'm thinking that they at this point, why not just stick to what you've done for the last 3 years under Quinn, making the playoffs three straight years. It's led to a lot of success, especially recently. Just go out and get it done. Play your game. Get Donovan going. Have him facilitate and knock down your threes. It all comes down to this game. This is the key game.
So I guess we'll end on this. Do they get it done on Saturday?
It's hard to remain optimistic. But if there's any game that they're going to get it done, it has to be Saturday. So just kind of out of desperation, I think so. Part of me thinks, you know, Houston's a team that they might smell some blood in the water and pounce on it. But I just don't think I think out of pride, I don't think the Jazz are going to get completely shut down on Saturday. I think they have at least one game in them.
Well,
I hope that they have one game in them because
they're not going to shoot this poorly for this long. I mean, it's not that they're not even getting good looks. They're getting good looks. They're just not hitting them.
Yeah, they're 8 of 40 on open threes.
The law of averages.
25% on open threes. And granted, they do struggle against Houston. 4 of their 9 worst games shooting have come against the Rockets this season. The last two games have been bad. Hopefully this next one's good. But
Maybe Donovan needs to reach out to Darren Williams and Carlos Boozer and say, how'd you guys get back from a 2-0 hole to win the series
exactly.
in game 7?
Yeah, in case you don't know what he's referencing, 2007, the Jazz came back. I think it was round 2.
No, it was the first round.
First round. Okay, first round. Came back and beat the Rockets after trailing 0-2. Carlos Boozer, a.k.a. Darren Williams.
Matt Harpering. I guess you could just talk to him since he's just right there.
If there's a group of guys that can do what that Jazz team did, it's the same. It's this group that the Jazz have right now.
Yeah.
But like we said, they return to Salt Lake again Saturday. It's 8:30. Make sure you guys stay tuned to KSL Sports, KSLSports.com for all of your Jazz coverage. We got you handled. Radio, TV, digital, social media. We got it all. Just make sure, and podcast-wise, we'll be here for you guys. And hopefully we have some more positive things to talk about. I'll be back tomorrow with Hema Hamouli Jr. Trevor, I'm not sure the next time that you're up on the podcast, but...
I think Sunday.
Okay, so Sunday you'll be back previewing Game 4, recapping Game 3. Hopefully it's a win. Hem and I will get more into the nitty-gritty behind these numbers tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening.